The Yearbook Podcast. I mean this. Thank you very much for your support of the podcast. I'm your host, Doug. Says in the Yearbook is the full name of the podcast. Don't ask. So says in the yearbook at hotmail.com for complaints or comments or anything else. But thank you for your support. When you search iTunes, I think this is a secret to everybody. I don't think they release podcast listening information. But when you search the podcast, you never find it on iTunes. But if you search the Yearbook, then you'll find it. Now, just until recently, if you search the Yearbook, we were at the very, very, very bottom of the list. And frankly, we were just happy that we showed up at all. But then, recently, now I have no idea if this means anything. This may mean nothing. If you search the Yearbook, we wound up top half of the page. We were like in the third row, right next to Anderson Cooper's podcast. Now, in no regular universe would we be anywhere close to what a CNN or any other podcast would get. But we were right next to Anderson Cooper for a short time, and then we've fallen apart. We enjoyed it, and we've fallen three rows back since. So now it's still top half of the page, but we've fallen way behind down to like the sixth row or so. I have no idea. Is this a ranking of people? So people that search for Yearbook and find Anderson Cooper's podcast by searching the word Yearbook, which no one would do while looking for Anderson Cooper's podcast, is that what they're ranking? Or is it just random? We were just happy we were like in the third row, whether it meant anything or not. Enough with the things, by the way, that are going to kill college basketball. The NBA is considering lowering its age limit, meaning that high schoolers would be able to go straight to the NBA once again. And the minor league G League, that is the NBA's minor league, this year is going to begin signing top prospects. Again, it's only the minor leagues. But the pay, as we've said before on previous podcasts, is a lot better. There's no comparison. This is not in the same universe as pay for minor league baseball players. $125,000. So G League, that's an enormous amount of pay. You can't even compare that to the poverty wages that minor league baseball players make at all levels. Anyway, the G League this year is going to begin signing top high school prospects for up to $125,000. And a top high school prospect just blew off college to play pro basketball overseas. He was set, I think, is that right? We only heard this, so I'm not sure. I think he was set to make his college decision, but his college decision wound up being a decision to play pro basketball in an entirely different country. So giving players options besides college, which means no unpaid college injuries, and those are always so sad, is a good thing. And for college basketball, it's true that it currently has a relatively low profile. It's mostly overshadowed by everything until 2 or 3 or 4 weeks are left until the tournament. It's also true that the sport does benefit when transcendent future pros such as Zion Williamson this year play it. Now, this is the best time ever because right now, all of the NCAA tournament games are on their own channel. It wasn't long ago at all. We're not talking like the 90s. We're talking recent. It wasn't long ago at all that CBS was constantly switching games and annoyingly promising a promise they couldn't keep to keep you posted. You had to pull for your school to make the third or fourth round to guarantee you'd see the whole game. Now, without marquee stars and the attention that they bring, such as Zion Williamson, every game being broadcast on its own channel could disappear, yes. But college basketball won't. This has been argued for years that this is going to kill college basketball, or something's going to kill college basketball. And there is something to knowing future pros are in college. Think about it. This is something we've thought about. If college players were banned from ever playing in the NBA, there was absolutely positively no hope that any of them would ever play in the NBA. Wouldn't that take something away? Isn't part of the fun seeing a guy in your favorite team? All right, say your favorite team is picked at random, Southeast Missouri State. So you're watching Southeast Missouri State play a road game because they come to your town, Southeast Missouri State. Here's your chance to see your alma mater. And you say, wow, this Southeast Missouri State, or SEMO, this Southeast Missouri State guy's pretty good. I wonder if he could play in the NBA. Imagine if that could never happen, if there was absolutely no chance any college player would ever play in the NBA. Wouldn't that take away some of the fun of watching some of these guys and saying, this guy is pretty skilled. I think he can play at an even higher level than this. But that said, for a lot of fans, seeing a future pro is, it's only a bonus. The important thing isn't someone's future pro stats. It's what he did for your college while he was wearing your college jersey. It's a huge point of pride. It's just enormous. You can't put it into words. The Steph Curry, one of the greatest players ever already, went to Davidson College. But seriously, tell me Wildcats fans aren't wondering if or how Curry's star power is going to lift current Davidson basketball. Now forget what I said about pros not existing in college ball, because there's always going to be future NBAers in the college ranks for a lot of reasons, including when Smedley was 18, no one actually thought he was pro material. Now at 22, scouts suddenly see Smedley as a first-round pick. So exposure could be a future problem for college basketball, TV exposure, internet exposure, just being a mainstream sport. But Xavier fans, who loved their school when it was a Cinderella, much less now that it's in a Power 5 conference, in a power conference, they loved their school when it was a Cinderella every March. They're not going to ditch the Musketeers just because there's no future Wizards or Blazers on the roster. Taking a look back at some stuff we discussed last week, the Indy 500 had a good day this past weekend, but it was no thanks to NBC's intrusive leaderboard graphic. In an era when sports graphics, have you noticed they've gotten smaller and more basic? Technology really is cyclical. There goes that joke. NBC's opaque big board, A, isn't big enough to include the positions of the entire field, and B, is big enough to block the far left side of the screen. Want to know how the crowd is reacting, or what the outside car is doing, or how lap traffic is going, or what track setup the leader is looking at? You won't, thanks to the race-eclipsing leaderboard. And it wasn't just the 500. That down-in-front graphic has the same problems at the IndyCar races with far fewer cars. IndyCar driver Pippa Mann met the president. It would have been cool if she got a congratulatory phone call from any president, but that's not what happened. I actually should have said she has met the president. It was 2015, and Pippa Mann, and in an Indy show car, which was a big hit at this event, attended a breast cancer benefit gala at Mar-a-Lago, back when no one knew what a Mar-a-Lago was. There she met Donald Trump, posed with Donald Trump, who sat on the car's tire, and spoke with Donald Trump. 5 months later, almost to the day, Trump announced he was running for president. 4 years later, in case you missed it, Pippa Mann did well at this year's Indy 500, finishing 16th last weekend. That's the top half of the field. That should be the title of this episode. The episode always goes in some unintended direction, and top half seems to be the direction. That's top half of the field for Pippa Mann. And it's her best day ever at Indy, and no moral victories here. It's very impressive, seriously, for a low-budget team where mistakes are literally costly. We failed to mention before the race last week that her husband works for a rival team. He's an engineer with Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. And Pippa Mann finished ahead of three of her husband's drivers, Jack Harvey, Oriel Servia, and Marcus Ericsson, who finished, seriously, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Schmidt-Peterson's flagship driver, James Hinchcliffe, did finish ahead of Mann in 11th. This year, though, was an underpublicized win for Mann, and I mean that, who was so happy to qualify because last year was just weird. With her car in danger of not qualifying on bump day, Pippa Mann says her husband actually walked by as she and her team were trimming the car. Now, again, her husband works for a rival team. He feared for her safety, but didn't say anything because he works for a different team. But more importantly, he knew that how the car was set up ultimately came down to her. He knew that she was going to have the final say no matter what he said, even though he feared for her safety. It turns out she was bumped from the field that day. We thought via rules that favored the rich teams. And her husband was bumped too. Hinchcliffe missed the cut. Then Hinchcliffe got a lot of publicity, rightly, for handling the situation with class. Pippa Mann also handled the situation with class. She did protest on her blog. But instead of saying that, we can't say that. Well, we'll get that later. While crying, while in tears, she had her official picture taken with her non-qualifying car. She did the non-qualifying car press conference, and a couple of days before the 500, this is last year, she was the one giving her backers a garage tour before then going on to meet fans for autographs. Unfortunately, no one knew Pippa Mann handled the situation with class because she was overshadowed by Hinchcliffe. Although, obviously, that wasn't his fault. Attention, defense wins championshipsologists. Maryland won the Women's Lacrosse National Championship. It's 14th with defense. And the Terps had to pay a heavy physical price to contain Boston College's Stars. And I mean heavy. It was a rough game. But contain Maryland did in a game that was not well officiated for either side. Maryland's defense was so good, the Terps won 12-10, holding Boston College to its fewest goals in a year, a month, and 2 weeks. And that April 2018 game we're talking about where BC scored less than 10 goals, BC won that game. So now it's your turn to go out there and win one for that USO dancer from Captain America, the First Avenger. She is breathtaking.